Hey, this is Bayard Winthrop, founder of American Giant. Back in 2011, I was fed up, sick of cheap disposable clothes that fell apart after a few washes, and even more sick of the fact that almost nothing good was made here anymore. So I started American Giant to prove something, that we could still make the absolute best hoodies, t-shirts, and pants right here in America, with American cotton, American factories, and American workers earning real wages. We exist to bring manufacturing home, create good jobs in towns that need them, and build clothes that actually last. No shortcuts, no overseas compromises. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code GIANT20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code GIANT20 at American-Giant.com.
Football on off the ball.
I was at Wembley in 2013, I think it was, when Wigan beat Manchester City, but ultimately got relegated from the Premier League. Where would Wigan fans rather be now? Would they rather be in the Premier League, or would they rather be as an FA Cup winner?
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Final One Standing by William Hill on Off The Ball. Download the app and play today. 18+, gamblingcare.ie.
Well, I hope that you don't all need as much relief from the agonies of Cheltenham as I do, but certainly we're looking to this weekend's football for some help and guidance. Delighted to say Ben Barrett from William Hill is with us, and we also have Green Scene purveyors of hopefully... good knowledge, fresh off defeats in the quiz.
Yeah.
With David and Matthew. Yeah, gentlemen, you're welcome.
How are we?
Ben, good morning to you. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you very much. How are you all doing?
Well, I do need to recover from Cheltenham, I'm not going to lie. It has been a bit of a bloodbath.
You and me both. Don't worry about that.
Yeah. This weekend's football is of course interesting, and I hope there are some opportunities, but there's also loads of stuff that I'm like, I have no clue what's going to happen. Chelsea and Newcastle, for example. Newcastle off the high/low of nearly beating Barcelona. Chelsea off the absolute devastation of being awful for 15 minutes and the fact that they don't have a goalkeeper. So I don't know what's going to happen there. And then the game on Sunday between Manchester United and Villa, 2 o'clock. Man United, Lisandro Martinez injured. But Villa off the back of European exploits, but actually feeling good about life for a change. I don't know. I can't tell what's going to happen.
Yeah, I suppose it's a really hard one for Manchester United because they don't really play any games of football anymore. At least we can watch Villa on Thursday night and be like, oh, we can see what kind of form they're in. So, United, last season, I just think of that game that Villa were obviously pushing for the Champions League and United done a job on them somehow. I don't think that'll happen this weekend. It'll be a completely different game.
You know, Evan Martinez got sent off stupidly for being an idiot, and also the referee illegally disallowed a goal that Morgan Rodgers scored that would have put them 1-0 up. That's what happened, David. They're the facts.
They are the facts, but the facts are that Man United won that game and Villa are now in the Europa League. And that's maybe, you know, something from last season that they can kind of think back to, because obviously Villa have the extra games and United don't have to play those nonsense Mickey Mouse European competitions.
Exactly, that nobody actually wants to be in, even though they try desperately to strive to be there. I'm going to run through the fixtures very quickly. It's Burnley, Bournemouth, 3 o'clock kickoff on Saturday, Sunderland, Brighton, 3 o'clock kickoff, and then 5:30, it's Arsenal against Everton. Arsenal obviously pretty happy with their late equaliser. Chelsea Newcastle is also a 5:30 kickoff on Saturday, and then the 8 o'clock kickoff is West Ham versus Manchester City. Again, I mean, obviously you would just expect Man City to roll through, but that just hasn't been happening. Palace Leeds is a huge game for Leeds if they can get anything from it. It feels like Palace are safe now. Yeah. Man United Villa, 2 o'clock kickoff as well. Forest against Fulham. If Forest pick up points there, and the pressure that ratchets up on Spurs at 4:30 in officially Igor Tudor's last game against Liverpool on Sunday. So let's dig into the Liverpool Spurs game. Ben, what are the markets telling us about what people expect to happen here?
I mean, I don't know if anyone else is starting to feel a little bit sorry for Spurs, but it's not going well, is it? Let's be honest with you. Liverpool are very, very short in the betting. And honestly, I'm surprised to see them at 3-10 to win this game. The draw is 9-2. Spurs 13-2 to win away from home. Looking at this game now, I think after the back of Liverpool losing the Champions League, and let's not forget they lost their last league game as well against Wolves, there's this feeling of having to get back to winning ways sooner rather than later. The league table suggests that, you know, that at the moment, sixth place, fifth almost certainly still get Champions League, don't forget, with all the way that everything's going in the coefficients and all the rest of it. So sixth might be Europa League. They can then get into the top five because they're level on points with Chelsea. So I think they need to make sure they not just win, but make a statement. And I fear a little bit for Spurs in this game. I really do. I mean, we all know what happened in midweek and the fact that Atletico Madrid blitzed them within a quarter of an hour. Something that West Ham did to, sort of Liverpool did to West Ham a few weeks ago. And I was trying to find value in this one and I found it almost quite hard to do because of how short Liverpool are. So I went with Liverpool for three or more first half goals, and that's 7-1. It's just happened to Spurs, and Liverpool have just done it to another team a few weeks back. It looks like one-way traffic if the betting's to be believed.
Does anybody have any hope for rearguard action from Spurs that somehow frustrates the Anfield crowd?
No, usually coming into a game like this, you would anticipate there to be a little bit cagey, and Spurs would make it difficult for Liverpool. I don't think Spurs are capable of making it difficult for anybody at this current moment in time with the way they're setting up and the way they're playing. Liverpool aren't perfect, far from it, and they've left the door open for a lot of teams in recent weeks, but I just cannot see a world where they even leave a crack of a window open for Spurs at the weekend, to be honest.
Yeah, like, and the Spurs game, like the game during the week, I think it's because of what happened, it's hard maybe to read in too much, but you can read into all the other games, and Igor Tudor has not got a tune out of this team. There's been no new manager bounce, and it's been like the complete opposite of a new manager yeah. bounce. So, like, can he set up a team that are solid defensively and can counter-attack into the space that Liverpool ultimately leave behind?
That's the only thing in the world he's actually capable of doing.
Yeah, like,
I know we haven't seen it yet, but like the keeper and Mickey van de Ven threw three in the first 15 minutes last night.
The players have been doing that for the last 6 months as well, you know?
Whole season. But like, if Spurs are going to stay up, like, this is like, you got to do it now. Like, this is where you have to show something. But like, it's kind of the overarching feeling is that this is Igor Tudor's last game. They could have sacked him maybe after the game against the Atletico Madrid in the Champions League. They didn't. They're kind of at the Spurs board thinking, oh, they're going to lose to Liverpool anyway. And, you know, it's just maybe as easy to sack him next week.
It's not fair on the new manager coming in his first game being away now.
Yeah, especially when Spurs have such a terrible record in Anfield.
Yeah.
You know, even bad Liverpool teams
right
beat
up.
Spurs. Like, so, yeah. And this is not a great Liverpool team, as we've seen. And a team that has been out of form as well and had a bad result during the week away in Istanbul against Galatasaray.
Yeah. Is this not the one time where there's some hope for Spurs? I mean, I'm asking the question. I'm not putting my money on
it. Yeah,
yeah.
I wouldn't give them a squeak, to be honest.
Where are Spurs going to score goals against Liverpool? Liverpool have actually improved in set pieces recently. Are Spurs going to be, are they going to get players in behind? Like, Richarlison hasn't done anything. Is Solanke going to even be fit? I just don't see where Spurs score against Liverpool.
The only thing you would maybe say, if you've looked at the players, and I think in the situation that they're in now, it's probably fair enough to question their character at Spurs.
Yes.
And maybe if you did want to look for something, it's that they might turn up for a game like this because they are...
Time Charlie show up.
Yeah, you know, and I think there is a slight bang of that off some of these players that they... They have a higher estimation of themselves than perhaps they've played.
Obviously, Van de Ven is suspended, but Romero is back.
Mm.
Romero has a lot of making up to do for not just his teammates and the coaches, but also the Spurs fans. He's the club captain.
And he's been defended to the hilt by a lot of fans.
And he does look like he'd be on his way as well. So, yeah, can he... Like, he's probably their biggest attacking threat from set pieces.
Yeah.
Like, is that the way they're going to score? Are they going to do enough to keep the likes of Ekitike and Verts out? Like, yeah, they've dropped off over the last couple of weeks as well. So, yeah, I don't know. Liverpool, like, it was a really bad performance again against Galatasaray on Tuesday.
They're so really badly.
Like, I seen someone tweeted during the week, like, is this a game where both teams could lose the game 3-0? Like, it's both, like, two...
Just that'd be something.
You know, two teams that are just kind of, in a really bad run of form. So, yeah, I don't know.
Okay, so
my verdict is Liverpool are going to win.
Hammer them.
Yeah, comfortably. Okay. Like, I don't know if they'll hammer, but it'll be comfortable. I don't think there'll be a problem. Like, yeah. I don't think that Spurs are going to cause them too much trouble, to be honest.
It looks like Liverpool won't win the Champions League. They probably will likely get past Galatasaray in the second leg.
I don't even know. Like,
Galatasaray are not, like, we've seen them against Juventus a few weeks ago, and they were in the second leg in particular. They were not good. So, I'd fancy Liverpool in a famous Champions League night at Anfield to overturn that one. But I can't see them going much further than that in the European competition. So, yeah.
Just seeing here, Harry Redknapp actually was talking today. I was obviously at Cheltenham. And he said, they know where I am if they need me.
Yeah, she's come and get me, plea.
What is the market on the next Tottenham bosses? Is Tudor a dead man walking, and is there people there to replace him? What's kind of the market?
Pretty much. The market I was going to highlight actually is for the Tottenham manager on the start of next season, so the 22nd of August. No great surprise that Pochettino is the favourite to go back. He's 6-4 and, of course, has got a World Cup in his mind. There's been a bit of support today for Robbie Keane, not just in this market, but also for the Palace job, which is almost certainly going to come up in the summer as well. So a little bit of thought that Robbie Keane might be interested in there. And I did have on the on my list Harry Redknapp 20-1. He is as likely to be the Tottenham manager on the 22nd of August as Igor Tudor is. He himself is 20-1 also.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant.
Yeah. Can we see Robbie back at Spurs?
Is that big with the Celtic job as well? I think in one of the papers this morning they were saying he's the favourite to replace Martin O'Neill in that market as well. So there's obviously a good win last night for Ferencváros.
Yeah, the 1-2-0 against Braga, but they're joint top of the Hungarian league, a league that they traditionally
they win.
Romp home in. So is Keane the man for Spurs?
What do you reckon? Is it okay? So there's one argument about whether, let's say, if Celtic, the Palace one is interesting.
Celtic has in the last 24 hours,
it's popped up. So if he has an option in this hypothetical world between Celtic and Spurs, which job is bigger and which job is better?
Can I make the more likely Palace is a real thing.
Yeah,
that is.
Okay.
So Vinny was in during the week saying he expects him to be in the Premier League next season, and he expects him more likely than not to be a Palace. So what are the odds for the Palace? I think Robbie was 7-4, 7-5 during the week.
Yeah, he's 13-8 now in the market. Thomas Frank 3-1, Gareth Southgate 5-1. But the support has come for, as you rightly say, Robbie Keane. In all three markets, he's second favourite in the Celtic job now. He's 13-8 for that one. Jons Askew is the market leader in that one. He's, as I mentioned, being supported into 7-1 for the Spurs job. Just on your point, surely it matters what division Spurs are in to what his thought process is. If he is being touted by a number of clubs and he's got Crystal Palace in the Premier League, Celtic probably in some sort of European competition, or Spurs away at Lincoln City, with all due respect, I think that's where he'll go.
Yeah, I can't see him taking the Celtic job, to be honest. I just don't see that happening. But
yeah, I don't think that would go down too well.
But the Palace thing would be interesting. Like, we'd be there alongside Paddy McCarthy.
Paddy, yeah.
So there could be an Irish duo there at a Premier League club, which should be really interesting.
Evan Ferguson looking for a move.
Yeah. I think Palace is the club, and Keane has done, like, he's obviously gone to the European continent to further his career and being a manager outside of England. I think that's maybe served him better in the long run.
Yeah,
so,
for sure, yeah.
Okay, so Spurs and Palace are more interesting this week in terms of the off-the-field stuff. Let's get stuck into Manchester United against Aston Villa. Villa's record at Old Trafford is not great.
No.
For various reasons. Sometimes the refereeing, sometimes the self-inflicted wounds from the madcap goalkeeper.
ABU.
What is going to be Man United's team? The same team with minus Martinez.
Finding a hoodie that lasts through the season can be tough. The American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime, so you can count on it to bring you comfort and warmth year after year. The iconic Classic Full Zip Hoodie is the jacket that started it all for American Giant. Custom heavyweight fleece and side panels for mobility make it the best hoodie ever. And a double-lined hood and reinforced elbow patches means this hoodie will last. Born from a commitment to support the communities that create its products, every American Giant piece is made in America and designed to last. No exceptions. The result is durable clothing, like the premium Slub Crew tee, no BS high-rise pant, and slim roughneck pant that become part of your life. Snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life. The American Giant Classic Full Zip. And save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
It's like no changes.
Yeah.
I think Ahmad probably comes back into the team somewhere.
Yeah.
Cunha hasn't been great this last couple of weeks. Does Cunha revert back to the bench? He kind of had a bit of a super sub kind of
at the beginning of
his Man United career. So yeah, Ahmad I think has been maybe quietly one of United's really best players this season. He plays off the right, he plays off the left. He has like lightning electric pace that not all the front players of United do have, and he kind of stretches the game, which is kind of helps Fernandes get a bit more space and those kind of central positions. But yeah, it's just so hard to know what kind of United are going to turn up. Like the last couple of games, they haven't been good.
No.
And this is a huge game.
That's what Paul Scholes meant. It was praise in certain cultures. Yeah. When you say these things, it's in praise of someone, not to diminish their standing in the eyes of right-thinking people. No. You had it wrong. You didn't. He's obviously communicating at a higher level with the higher beings, and he's like at one with the world, where he's like, the team is playing badly, but we're getting results, which is all you want from your manager. We're so thick, we didn't get it.
Of course,
yeah, that was it's completely our fault. But yeah, to know, like, I don't know what the markets are saying, but I don't think as United fans would be particularly confident about this game.
Right.
No, the betting is fairly warm in favour of Manchester United. They are odds on at home at 3-4. The draw 29-10. Villa 16-5. And actually, I thought that this match had a knock-on effect to the market for the top four. They're obviously currently third and fourth, respectively, dead level on 51 points. Man United are 1-3 to finish in the top four. Some at the end of this season. Villa are 5-4. Whoever wins this game, their odds are obviously going to shorten significantly, but whoever loses this game will awaken Chelsea, Liverpool in behind them to get into that fourth spot. So I'm not sure. I think you play it right by saying this is a huge game. I think there is a genuine chance that this is a top four decider come the end of the season, if we assume they will go on and just continue to pick up points at their current rate. There's no getting around it. This is massive. Interesting you say about Cunha. He's actually got a really good record against Villa. I think he scored in their last three against Villa, but lost two of them. So I do wonder if he'll fancy his chances of bagging again, regardless of the eventual result.
Yeah, like Villa are looking for the first double over United since the 54-55 season.
Been a while.
Two of their last 37 league trips to Old Trafford, drawn 7 and lost 28. Even in the United banter era that they've been in, they still have a terrible record there.
That doesn't include the cup games where they've been up against them and lost.
Yeah.
I think that Villa winning midweek is actually really important for the self belief that the team had, but far more important is John McGinn is back and
huge.
Like it's hard to overstate just how important from an emotional perspective McGinn is, because he doesn't always play 90 minutes. Like frequently he'll play 60 minutes. Or he'll come off the bench. But it's just that, like, without him, it felt like... So they're obviously missing him, and they're missing Kamara, and they're missing Tielemans. And that was
your three, like, yeah.
Yeah, who were all playing brilliantly. It was three of a four, anyway, when they were on their 10-11 game winning streak. And he came off the bench and played some football during the week, and I expect him to play significant minutes. Maybe you start with him and you give him a half and see how he's going at half-time.
He generally always plays well against Man United as well. He's caused problems for United over the years as well. Like his physicality, especially in the middle of midfield, and United
great ass.
Yeah, like so
many. How much coverage his backside has gotten on off the ball today? We spoke about it for quite some time
on breakfast this morning.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Keith was very impressed.
It's magnificent.
Yeah.
So viewers of this show last week will know that I'm a Villa fan and I have an emotional hedge where I backed them not to finish in the top four when they were 130. That they've come way down and I have to make the decision whether or not I cash out.
Ooh.
And if they win this game, they're going to finish in the top four. I think that's guaranteed. I think if they win this game, they'll actually go on a run. And if they win this game and Ollie Watkins scores, then Ollie Watkins will score in six of his next eight games.
Do you like Ollie Watkins? He's frustrating, I imagine.
Oh, it's he has all the package to be elite,
yeah,
but just can't finish at an elite level.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I mean, obviously...
So are you going to cash out?
If Man United had bought him for 50 million, I'd have been delighted.
Yeah, are you going to cash out? You're going to just...
I don't know. I mean...
What should he do?
It depends on how Cheltenham goes today.
Yeah, it depends how Cheltenham goes. It depends on the start of the week. The end of this horse racing week finishes off. I think you've backed them not to finish in the top four.
Yeah.
I think you back them today to finish in the top four.
Yes, I like it.
And when they win at Old Trafford, you've got yourself covered either way, right?
Yeah. So try and get my stake back if they finish in the top four at 5-4.
5-4 to finish in the top four is not going to be the price come 20 minutes after the full-time whistle
if they win
at Old Trafford.
If they win at Old Trafford, they'll be on 54 points, which would leave them 6 ahead of Chelsea, but Chelsea would obviously have to play. Chelsea are in 5th.
Mm.
So if Chelsea then were to win, they would still only be 3 points inside the top 4. You'd be confident that they'd see out the season.
Oh, if they beat Man United at Old Trafford. So they're the streakiest.
Yeah.
They're the streakiest of streak teams.
It's either group. It's great. Yeah. It's terrible now.
And Tielemans is going to be back in April. So
yeah, and McGinn is back. Yeah.
McGinn is back. And
Or of course, you could back Manchester United not to finish in the top 4 at 9-4.
Oh, yeah. So one or out of them, because there's no way that both Liverpool and Chelsea are going to catch them both.
Yeah,
so Man United not to finish are 9-4 at the moment.
Not to finish in the top 4. That seems to me, for a team that has struggled to the levels that has got the squad issues that it has in terms of injuries, availability and regularity, I think that's too big of a price for a team that you just cannot hang your hat on. A little bit like Liverpool have been so far this season, to a certain extent, a little bit like Chelsea have been throughout this season. But Man United not to finish in the top 4. Fifth will still get a Champions League spot. Offer a Manchester United fan fifth right now with a Champions League spot next year, they will absolutely take it.
Yeah, so my dream scenario here is Villa finish fifth and I'm quids in.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, so that Man United-Villa game kicks off at 2 o'clock on Sunday. I presume it's our live 2 o'clock kickoff.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
Stephen Doyle is in the commentary box for that one with...
I'm not sure.
Brian Kerr?
I think so.
Yeah.
Phil Egan and Owen Doyle are doing the half four game, Liverpool and Tottenham at Anfield.
It's Stephen Doyle and Vinny Perth,
that's it. Yeah.
The other quick game that I want to talk about quickly is Chelsea versus Newcastle. Again, I've no real clue. Newcastle's league form has been absolutely abysmal and they're a massive price in this game. Chelsea are odds on to win at home. And, you know, if we hadn't seen what we'd seen midweek, you'd be like, okay, but maybe there's some semblance of form beginning to emerge at Newcastle.
I'd flip that around, actually, and I talk about Chelsea because when I was scribbling some notes down, when you talk about Chelsea at Stamford Bridge, they only just got a point against Burnley. They couldn't beat Leeds at home. They had to come from behind twice against West Ham. 1-0 win over Paphos in the Champions League. Yeah, on paper, they're all W's and D's, but actually their opponents are better than Burnley, than Leeds, than West Ham United. Newcastle played a day earlier and at home. Chelsea, I know it was only Paris and it's not a million miles away. They haven't had to trek to the far east of Europe or anything. But a day later, travelled and got battered. For me here, if Newcastle get out the blocks quickly, 14-5 about Newcastle looks absolutely massive to me. But they have got to make an early statement because the longer the game goes on at 0-0 or level, certainly, I think it'll favour Chelsea later on in the game. But if Liverpool can get going, if Newcastle can get going quickly, I think Chelsea are there for the taking at home. Stamford Bridge, we know, can be a bit of a wobbly place. And if they can turn a few fans against them, those last 3-4 games at home have not set the world alight for me for Chelsea.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the form here, or the table. As far as home form goes for Chelsea, they're only 12th, 23 points from 14 games, which would make you think, you know, that they are vulnerable. I'd agree with that, but Newcastle's away form is as bad as anyone, really. 13 points from 14 games, 17th in the away standings table, only ahead of Leeds, Burnley and Wolves. Lemar Senior, during the week, obviously, they were beaten by PSG. No shame in that, really, at all. But the game at 3-2, with a couple of minutes to go, you think, you know what, we'll take that back to the Bridge. They opted not to and chased another goal and ended up on the end of a bit of a drubbing. A bit of naivety there on his behalf, possibly.
Yes, there's another factor where PSG managed to bring on Kvaratskhelia, who produced certainly one moment of magic and then is at the end of another free-flowing move against one of the best teams in world football. So maybe, I don't know, maybe you should be able to batten down the hatches. They're still such a young team.
Yeah, I think, like
that's of their own doing, though.
It is of their own doing. It's not his doing, like... That naivety isn't something that he can cheat.
Yeah, it's a fair point. I'd say he'd be fairly on board with the...
Yeah.
I'd say he'd be more comfortable managing young players than some older players, you know.
Chelsea were really good, actually, in that first half, especially Caicedo and Enzo Fernandez. I thought they were actually brilliant in the first half against Paris Saint-Germain. But like you said there, they got done in the last 15 minutes by like some unbelievable Paris Saint-Germain play. But for Rossinho... Like, the strength of the Chelsea team, I think, is in the middle of the midfield. And the weakness currently of the Newcastle team without Bruno Guimaraes is in the middle of the Newcastle midfield. So I think this is an opportunity for Chelsea to kind of completely kick Newcastle out of the top five race and bounce back after what became a bad defeat during the week. I think Chelsea... Mike, I know you're saying Newcastle need to get out of the traps fairly quickly. I think Chelsea will probably do it this weekend. And Joao Pedro's got quite a decent record against Newcastle as well, I think. So, I just feel that Chelsea will bounce back from that defeat during the week. And like Newcastle's away form, like we mentioned already, is just very, very patchy. I know it's an opportunity, but like Newcastle beat United a few, 10, 11 days ago now, without Bruno Guimaraes. United were really bad that night, and obviously Newcastle are down to 10 men, but that's like Newcastle's cup final when they play Man United at St James's Park. So I think there's a defeat coming for Newcastle this weekend.
Alright, Ben, is there anything else from you before we let you go?
No, I mean to say that actually I think Newcastle have got more to play for going on, really, because they've got to go to Barcelona 1-1. That tie is still in the balance. Can Chelsea turn around the PSG game? Probably not. And then they face Sunderland. This is the perfect time for Newcastle to start a little bit of a run ahead of basically two proper cup finals coming up as well. So Newcastle, I'm going to take you on. Newcastle, my best bet of the weekend.
All right.
Nice one, Ben.
Ben, good stuff. Thanks a million for joining us. Cheers. Right. A couple more things for us to chat about here. Arsenal play Everton. That's a 5:30 kickoff.
Yeah.
On
2:30 kickoffs simultaneously.
Saturday. Yeah.
That's weird. Why is that?
Champions League.
Yeah, you have to have a certain amount of time for players to rest between.
They've done the 8:00 on Saturday though a couple of times this season.
Yeah, there's West Ham.
There is as well. Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. Wow. Right. 2:00-3:00, okay.
Yeah, all gone up against the England-France game just to spoil any notion that England might be a rugby country.
I know what I'll be watching.
Arsenal play Everton and they are mad odds on price, and Everton are a huge price here. Does anybody give Everton a chance, bearing in mind Arsenal are coming off a European game?
You give them a squeak, you give them a chance for nick a point, maybe keep it tight. Like, Arsenal don't set the world alight, as has been well documented in terms of attacking flair, so Everton are well capable of batting down the hatches, but... I think if Arsenal can get a goal early, like they'll see that game through. I don't think Everton will offer much of a threat going forward, but I wouldn't write them off totally. As is always the case with Arsenal, I think they're far from perfect. They're maybe as close to perfect as we have in the Premier League at the minute, which is why they'll probably end up winning the league. But they're get addable, I would say.
Yeah, like Everton notoriously have a bad record against the good away teams. From home against
David Moyes has a bad record against the
good teams. A lot of that was with Everton. I don't know. I don't see Everton hurting Arsenal this weekend. Arsenal, I think, are firmly in the let's make sure we look after the Premier League kind of mindset. I know they drew away in the Champions League and are kind of lucky to draw against Bayer Leverkusen.
Yeah, they weren't good at all, were they?
No, and that's the thing about Arsenal this season is that there's lots of games where they've played where you're like, God, they weren't great, were they? And then they squeak over the line with a win. I remember a few weeks ago they were playing Sunderland in the Emirates, like a bit like this weekend, and I was thinking, yeah, Sunderland are going to cause some problems, and they dispatched a Sunderland as well. So, and also there was a game away to Leeds after they lost to Man United, and they went and they kind of brushed them aside too. So any questions that have been asked of Arsenal this season, they have come back and bounced back and won the game. So
something they've not really done too much in the past.
Yeah, so like I fancy them to beat Everton this week or this weekend, and
that's taking care of business, because they're ahead of City in terms of kickoff time.
Yeah.
City had the 8 o'clock kickoff against West Ham.
And that's a game I think that I don't really like. City have a good record against West Ham, obviously, but I'm not really trusting the City team at all, like, just to pick up wins and points. Like, they're terrible during the week.
I wouldn't be terribly surprised if both City and Arsenal stumble this weekend, because it's middle of European football and there's that whole
I hear you.
Yeah. Like Alex Ferguson used to say, like, kind of that Patrick's Day kind of weekend, that March time is when, you know, you really kick into gear. I don't see the City team peaking. And I know the times are different now. You play a few, you know, there's more games in Europe, there's more travel. I don't see the City team going on a run like what they used to do. And West Ham, I think, would be licking their lips, you know, welcoming City off the back of a bad result against Real Madrid during the week. I think West Ham would be ready for them. They obviously had a good win in the FA Cup last Monday, which is just kind of brings positivity, good vibes.
Exactly. Yeah, for sure.
And Nuno was well able to set up a team that we've seen to counter-attack. West Ham, I think, are, you know, breathing down the necks of Nottingham Forest and Spurs.
And Leeds.
Who all play the next day.
Yeah.
Like, if West Ham are going to get safe,
this would be
one
statement,
of those games where it's like, okay, get something from this.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, the only thing with City about you saying that, like, they don't look like a team who's capable of going on a run. I think that's, no one was kind of expecting that to happen. I think there was an acceptance that this isn't the City team that has previously gone and gone on these runs and rattled leagues away in the space of a couple of weeks, like when teams just couldn't keep up with them, or obviously keeping Liverpool at a nice enough distance that season. But I think the kind of hope from people who didn't want Arsenal to win the league was that they didn't think City would need to go on one of these runs.
Yeah.
But due to the fact that they've slipped up a little bit in the league with Forest that time, they're going to have to put a couple of wins together at the very least. And it's as bad as I've seen Pep set up a team during the week there against Real Madrid. He got that so wrong.
The players aren't in form. Haaland hasn't been in form.
Rodri looks a yard off it.
Yeah, Ryan Cherki, who looked like amazing at times earlier in the season, has been miles off it. Doku hasn't been great. Bernardo Silva is playing every single game. I don't know how many, you know, I don't know how many games he's got left in his legs as well at the real top level. Semenyo is their only real threat in an attacking sense now. And obviously Gehi's been really good since he's come in, and especially in the league.
Yeah.
But he got found out in Europe during the week as well. And Nico Reilly as well, who had to play left back as well and play in the middle during the week. But yeah, he can be got out as well. And I wouldn't like, you know, Jared Bowen going up against Nico Reilly. I'd be favouring kind of Jared Bowen in that
100%.
So we're giving West Ham a chance here. We're not saying they're going to win.
No, I give them a massive chance.
I'd give West Ham more of a chance against Manchester City than I'd give Everton against Arsenal.
Yeah. Or Spurs against Liverpool.
Watch City win this game 4-0 tomorrow.
Yeah, but see, this, they are capable of doing that.
Yeah.
They are capable of doing that. But like, based off of the evidence that we have at hand.
Yeah.
Anything else from the weekend? Forest at home to Fulham. That is one of those opportunities where you're...
Fulham have been heavily involved in this relegation battle over the last couple of weeks, despite the fact they're miles up the table. They feel like they're playing one
all
of those teams every week.
Yeah.
Like, and they're beating them all. So maybe they will get another win against Forest.
Forest were maybe a bit unlucky last night against Michelin, but...
Yeah, they could have been heavily up after about 45 minutes.
I just think, like, just... Forest have the chance to put the frighteners up Spurs again.
Yeah.
You know, in the minutes before that, they'll kick off against Liverpool.
Yeah.
Like, Forest do have a lot of quality players. I think a lot of them quality players will be leaving, like Gibbs White and Elliot Anderson in the summer. So I think maybe it's, you know, the last hurrah for that team to pull together. So
there is, at some point, so Fulham have 40 points. We don't know what their manager's doing next season. At some point, they're like, lads, beach time.
Yeah.
Come on, let's go.
Slight opportunity for Brentford to get back in the European mix or extend our European kind of hopes with a game against Wolves on Monday.
Yeah.
That's a good opportunity for them. But Wolves, of course, have been very good. Mid-table side over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you're not playing for anything. So
keep
an eye on those beach teams, the likes of Fulham, even though they might still.
I think Europe, Wolves are mad odds. So it's still like 16-1 to get out of it. But like, you don't need to go on a massive run of form if... couple of teams start dropping. So Forest could easily drop
12 points off. They've 6 games, or they've 8 games left, so
it would be remarkable.
They'd have to see them winning six games.
The other game on Sunday was really interesting. It's Crystal Palace and Leeds.
Yes,
that's basically a win to escape the real kind of,
I think Palace are alright,
nervous times that might kind of might happen. Like, Palace were bad again last night against Larnaca. And it feels like as well, and this feels from a Forest perspective too, that I don't know about Aston Villa, but Forest fans and Palace fans are thinking, and Kevin Kilbane mentioned this on Monday with Owen on the football show, are they thinking, like, let's maybe lose these European games and, like, put all our full focus into staying in the Premier League? Because at the end of the day, the Premier League is a Super League, and that's where you need to be.
Well said.
On that note, anybody got anything else?
No.
No, I'm good.
All right.
Wigan need a win this weekend. I know it's not a Premier League, but get behind them.
Are they favourites?
No, well, I don't know. They're barely favourites for any games to play at the minute. They're absolutely dreadful. They got beaten 3-0 by Plymouth midweek.
Oof.
Yeah, at home.
See you next week.
The Final One Standing by William Hill on Off the Ball. Download the app and play today. 18 plus gamblingcare.ie.